Please turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20. This is going to be our final week looking at this doctrine of the intercession of Jesus Christ. We've looked at the importance of Christ's intercession, why we should be concerned with this doctrine. We've talked about the reality that the Scripture teaches, the intercession of Christ. We've talked about the nature of Christ's intercession, or to put it a different way, what is it that Christ is doing in interceding for us? We've talked about the matter of Christ's intercession, that Christ is interceding for the elect individually, for all of the elect, and also the what is it that he is interceding for? And we saw, and we discussed that last week, that Christ is interceding for us in regards to all things that pertain to our relationship with God. And so now, this evening, we're going to finally look at the qualities of Christ's intercession, and specifically thinking about what is it about Christ that makes his intercession effectual, and what is it that makes it a comfort to us. And so to give a scriptural background for this, we want to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 20, through the end of the chapter. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. Well, this evening we do want to look at this question, and it's a good and fitting place to end. It's a place to think about how Christ is exalted, how he's particularly fitted for this role of intercession, and how the qualities of Christ, the person of Christ, is everything that we could want in an intercessor. And also, as we think on this, it answers the question of why is it that Christ's intercession is effectual? Why is it that Christ's intercession works, that it's heard by God the Father, that it's received and accepted? And also, then, it leads us to evaluate it from a different angle. How is it that Christ's ministry, or how is it that Christ is demonstrated as being unique? And how is he exalted by this doctrine of his intercession in this way? In other words, why can't we look to someone else to be our intercessor? And what we're going to see is that there are things about the person of Christ that uniquely qualify him to be our intercessor. So the first quality we want to look at this evening is that Christ as our intercessor is skillful. And we have a need for an intercessor, an advocate who knows the client, who knows us as the one needing intercession, who knows the judge, and who also knows the particular threats that we face. And certainly Christ knows us. We could go to various and many sources on this, but for instance, John chapter 2, 24 and 25 says, "But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." Psalm 103 that we sing says, that for our frame he well remembers. That we are but dust, he knows. And so we can be thankful that we have an intercessor who knows us, that he knows us better than we know ourselves. And not just that he knows us from the things that we communicate about ourselves, not just that Christ hears us when we pray, and then that he knows then what we need. But in fact, he knows us better than the things that we pray. Because often, as we know, our prayers are erroneous or are lacking. Or either we err in what we ask for or wouldn't really be for our good, or we don't even ask for the things that we should. But Christ knows our hearts. He's also skillful in knowing the judge as well. And his relationship with the Father speaks to this. Matthew 11:27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So Christ knows the judge. In fact, he is there interceding and advocating at the request of the judge. He has it, and that adds an authority to his intercession. You know, we can think of those who practice law, and none of us is licensed to walk into the courtroom, and we aren't invited to be there as legal advisors, as attorneys for other people. But yet Christ is there, and there's an authority because it's the Father who has invited him, who has made him priest, who has made him the mediator, the intercessor. And Hebrews 5 speaks of this when it says, "No man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" And so Christ did not take this honor to himself, but he was appointed by the Father. In addition, we know that Christ knows the threats that we face, the temptations, the weaknesses that we struggle with, the accusations of the devil. And he also knows the law that regulates the courtroom of heaven. There are times in life where it's very important to have someone who's skillful. There are times in life, I think we can all agree, when you don't want to go cheap on things, like brain surgery or in legal matters. And certainly we want to have the best intercessor who we can, the most qualified and skillful. And so Christ is certainly a skillful advocate who knows all about us, who knows all about the Father, who knows all about the law and the things that he is interceding for us about. And so therefore, his case is heard and it prevails. And so we can worship him. We do worship him because we have a skillful advocate. In addition, the passage that we've just read points out to us that we have a holy advocate. And Hebrews 7:26-27 points us to this, that such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And this is one who is fitting. We needed a high priest like this. A different type of high priest would not be fitting. He could not do the work. And then verse 27 elaborates on that we need one who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. And so we need a holy advocate because, of course, someone who is unholy has no standing in heaven. He won't be heard by the Father. But Christ's intercession is holy, is just as holy and just as pure as his once for all sacrifice. And we can think in this regard of an example of impure intercession of Nadab and Abihu with impure fire offered in their censers. And of course, that was not received. That those censers that picture prayer, that was not received by God. And so therefore, we rejoice that Jesus Christ is the righteous one, is the righteous intercessor. We also, thirdly, rejoice that we have a compassionate intercessor. Hebrews 2, verse 17 says, "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Well, why is it that you need a merciful and compassionate high priest? The reality is it's because you are not much to look at. Because you are annoying and frustrating and falling into the same sin over and over and over again. And our tendency is to think, well, we're kind of cute, that Christ would maybe more look at us as kind of like a cute little puppy or something. But the reality is that we need a compassionate high priest because we are not cute in our sin, but we need someone who will look at us, and as Christ was moved inwardly by seeing the suffering, by seeing the effects of sin on the multitudes, we need a merciful high priest who sees us in our misery and is compelled inwardly to do something about it. And we can be thankful that Christ has more pity, more compassion for us than we even have for ourselves. That Christ is even more sad, more grieved for the harm that befalls us, more moved to do something about it than we are ourselves. And that's saying a lot, because certainly when we're hurting, when we're in pain, we are moved to do something about it. I sprained my ankle Monday working on some things around the house. I stepped wrong on something, and I was moved to get off my feet and to take a break, and I was moved to address the problem. Well, Christ is even more compassionate on us, on our needs, than we are on our own needs. And so we can rejoice in that. We are also encouraged because Christ's intercession is prompt. There's a constancy to it. In Hebrews 7:24, that we just read, that he continues forever and has an unchangeable priesthood. And so Christ's intercession is not going anywhere. It continues forever. So there's just a steadiness to it, but also tied in, and that ties in with the promptness of his intercession. And Hebrews 4 talks about this, verses 15 and 16, that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, who is in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we can be thankful and think about this promptness in terms of Christ's intercession. And we can think about this in terms of, have any of you ever been stranded by the roadside, maybe with a leaky radiator and needing some water for your radiator, needing a jump for your car, or needing maybe some gas? You've driven and run out of gas. Well, if you've ever been by the roadside needing water to fill up your radiator, here's some water for you. You're welcome. You're welcome to it. You can have this glass, and I'll fill up another glass for you as well after the service. Well, why isn't that so exciting and meaningful to you? Well, it's not really prompt. None of you are currently stranded by the road. And the value of the gifts, the value of part of the value of intercession is to have it take place in a timely manner. And if Christ's intercession for us is not prompt, if we can't find the grace that we need to help in time of need, then, of course, much of the value of having an intercessor is lost. If there's a delay, well, I'll talk to the Father about that for you 3 weeks from now, then the value is lost. But Christ is, of course, always available. He's always ready. He always acts immediately on your behalf, supplying just what is needed when you need it, and even before you know that you need it. And that's encouraging too, because of course we often are not prompt to pray about things, to intercede for our own needs. We often get caught up in the moment and we miss the opportunity even to pray about our own needs. But Christ does not miss the opportunities to intercede for us. So his intercession is prompt. It also is an earnest intercession. Christ is not disinterested in our case. And that's demonstrated, of course, by his love for us, by the fact that he has given his blood, he's given his life for you. And we've all dealt with people who are advocates on our behalf, who get distracted from what we want them to be doing. Somebody leaves on it, we send somebody on an errand for us, and they don't return or whatever. The attorney that we hired to help with the basement situation that we had, it came time to meet with the township, and we sat down around the table over at the Ferguson Township office and started in with the negotiations. And we were getting close to the end, but not quite done, and his phone rang. And there was something else, and he had to run out of the room and take care of another situation that certainly was more important than our situation. But as somebody's sitting there saying, well, I feel a little ripped off here. I need an advocate right now who's attentive and earnest about my situation. I don't want you getting distracted with other things. But with Christ is earnest and cares about our needs. And it can never be said that he is not intent about watching out for us. Although it can certainly be said about all of us that we don't maintain intensity in our prayer lives, that our hearts wander, our minds stray during our times of prayer. In fact, it could be said truly about us that we never pray with all of our hearts involved. Christ never prays in any other way than fully with all of his heart involved. His mind does not wander away. So Christ is earnest in his intercession for us. Finally, we want to see that Christ's intercession is unique. And 1 Timothy 2:5 speaks to this. And this is part of this kind of wraps up the reason why we're talking about all of these different characteristics of Christ's intercession. 1 Timothy 2:5 says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so there's an exclusivity to the intercession of Christ. That, yes, we can intercede from one another, for one another from earth, but that he alone intercedes from heaven, that he alone has the exalted seat at the right hand of God, that we intercede for one another, but always through him, always based on his merit. He alone intercedes based on his own merit. In any way in which Christ, the uniqueness of Christ's intercession is minimized, robs him of glory. In all of these ways, that these qualities of Christ's intercession, we see that his intercession is glorious, that he is exalted. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 speaks to this, that he has become higher than the heavens, that he has full access, that his glory is great. And that he alone has this access, that he alone has the qualities to do this. We started reading this week, I was reading with the kids, King Arthur. And for those of you who have read King Arthur and his knights, the first story in there talks about how is it that King Arthur becomes king, and he's just a boy, and there's this sword and a stone, and they call together and see who can pull this sword out of this stone. And so all the knights and all the strong people try to do this. And none of them are able to pull out the sword out of this stone. But King Arthur comes and without any struggle at all, just pulls the sword out. But they don't like that. You're too young. Put the sword back in the stone and we'll try again in another month or so. And he comes, another month passes, and King Arthur once again, after many other people have tried, and tried to pull that sword out of the stone. He once again goes and pulls the sword out of the stone, and they still aren't happy. We'll come back next month. And finally, after this happens 3 or 4 times, they finally say, well, there's no denying this. And by this time, the peasants are getting uneasy, and they're saying, we want, this is the guy who can pull the sword out. And so they crown him king. Well, in much the same way, Christ alone has unlocked the gates of heaven. He alone has access. His blood alone has opened up the access to God the Father. And so we are grateful and we are blessed to have him as our King. He alone can do it. And so we are very grateful for that. And so as we conclude our series on the intercession of Christ, once again, let's run through the questions that we've asked. What is it that Christ is doing right now as your high priest? He is making intercession. What is intercession? And is Christ appearing in the presence of God, exhibiting his sacrifice, and expressing his will to God the Father? Why is it that that matters to you? Because it secures your salvation and its benefits. It assures you that your prayers are heard and perfected, and it brings glory to Jesus Christ. Who is it that Christ intercedes for? He intercedes for all of the elect individually. What is it that Christ intercedes for? He intercedes for all things that pertain to my relationship with God and salvation, especially forgiveness, protection, and sanctification. And then why is Christ the perfect intercessor? He's the perfect intercessor because he is skillful, holy, compassionate, prompt, earnest, and unique. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that we have such a great high priest, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who has a right to stand before your throne, both because of his person, because of his work, and because you have appointed him to this end. Lord, cause us to look to the intercession of Christ. Cause us to think about it, to be encouraged by it, that even as we encounter difficulties and struggles in this life, as we experience blessings, that we describe blessings to you, that we would look to you and thank you for your sustaining power in our times of weakness and of need. Lord, we are grateful for the work of Christ. We're grateful for all that he has done and is doing even now for us. And we pray that we would be more and more mindful of our full and complete reliance on him. Help us to not be self-sufficient, but instead to always be humbly looking to you. It's in Christ's name that we pray these things. Amen.